Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Last segment, that was a great phone call from Eric there. It's great to get the perspective of the Liga MX fan as well. So very, very interesting stuff there from Eric. And we'll continue this discussion with Tom Marshall of ESPN FC a little bit later in the show. But right now, so this morning I get up. I know Todd Ramos, the Houston Dynamo manager, is going to be on our show, and I got to see Soccer Town USA. So I got up early, got a cup of coffee, got a nice spot. And this is a great documentary. I highly recommend it. It's over on go to YouTube. You just type in Soccer Town USA. It is a remarkable documentary. So we're going to talk to Todd Ramos about that, Houston Dynamo, and a number of other topics here for the next two segments. So let's welcome in the Houston Dynamo manager, Todd Ramos. Todd, how are you?
How are you, Glenn? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm good, Tab. I know the last time we talked, your family's on the East Coast. I know you're in an apartment here. First of all, how's your family doing? How are you doing? And how are you handling everything right now?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So far, you know, knock on wood, everyone's doing well. You know, my family went back about 4 weeks ago. We thought that it would be a good idea for them to just be there, so they're not confined to where I am here in Houston in my apartment. And you know, obviously they were going to be there anyway until the end of the school year, and so we feel like, you know, they were at the right place. Now, obviously, New Jersey doesn't seem like the right place to be at this point because it's one of the highest affected states by the virus. But so far, so good. Everyone's doing well.
Good. And yourself, how about you? I mean, you must miss your family immensely.
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy being alone. But at the same time, you know, we've gotten ourselves really busy here with all the things that we have to do, because we have to, you know, adjust to working in a way which we're not all that familiar with. And so we're learning every day, and we keep ourselves busy.
Todd Ramos of the Houston Dynamo, the manager, joining us right now. Yeah, so what have you learned? Because, you know, for me it's interesting because every day I'm thinking of things to do, trying to be creative. I want to make sure I have a couple of small victories every day, whether it's fitness or other things. So from the side of a coach now, I just want to hear what kind of you're doing. And I know you got a lot of meetings and a lot of that type of thing with not only the league, the Dynamo front office, your players, but are there other things that you fit in and kind of what have you learned?
Well, I mean, besides, you know, the work that we do through video, you know, it's hard to imagine that a lot more outside of that can be learned from this, right? You know, at least I think for all the families who have an opportunity to be together and spend a lot of time, I think that's a good thing. Obviously also, you know, sometimes I think it makes you realize how important work is for everybody, you know, because you actually, you know, if you love what you're doing, you miss what you do. And I think that's a good sign as well. But in general, I think the most important thing for me at this whole thing, has been how I've gotten to know the team. Because, you know, since I'm a new coach, you know, I spent about 2 months with the team in preseason, a month and a half, you know, in a preseason in which we have so many players, you know, up to 35 players, and now we can narrow it down to our contracted players and be in contact with them a lot more through the week and get to know their real stories, you know, their life, and we do a lot of team building and that type of stuff, and I feel like we're in a much better place now than we were, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, because I would think at this point, you know, you're thinking when this happens, no matter how long this goes on, this time has to be utilized as best it can be, right?
Yeah, and so that we look back, you know, all the coaches and all the technical staff, and, you know, what can we do here to get better? Obviously, we can't do it on the field. What can we do off the field to be better the moment we step back in? And so we do a mixture of, you know, 1 week we'll do, you know, tactical work through video, and the following week we'll do team building. You know, we've gotten to know everyone's stories and everyone's lives, and we got the players to open up a little bit about who they are, where they come from, what their town or city or state or country is like, that, you know, there may be things we don't know about. And so I really feel like we've, you know, the team as a whole has gotten a lot closer through this.
Talking to Tab Ramos, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. Of course, you know him as a former U.S. national team member. Does this give you a deeper appreciation for the game? Because Christian Ramirez last week was on the show. He was an outstanding interview. And he got real deep about, wow, you know, I miss training. I miss being at the field. This is what I live for. You know, I miss playing games. And I asked him that same question. Does this give you a deeper appreciation for the game? How about in your case?
Yeah, I think the same. You know, Christian can be very deep when it comes to stuff like that. And I feel exactly the same. These are the moments where it kind of makes you question if you really love what you do, because you really want to go back to it. And in my case, I know that I can't wait to, you know, get up in the morning and just the little things, like, you know, like walking on the field, smelling the grass, you know, as you're walking onto the field, those are the things that you really miss, you know. And, you know, obviously we have a great staff here, and we have players who are great people. And for me, I can't wait to have the opportunity to go back.
Tab Ramos joining us. You know, are you concerned about not only the Dynamo, but the overall health of the league? Because, look, coming to a grinding halt, I mean, we're seeing companies like Virgin apply for bankruptcy. I mean, how much real concern is there out there for the overall league?
Yeah, I'm worried. Fortunately, I'm sort of used to being worried about soccer, and that's kind of how I grew up, and kind of how I've gone through my career. Always trying to sell the sport everywhere I go, and always trying to think of you know, what we need to do to not just, you know, for me and my career and myself, but what can I do to make to do something that'll make the sport better for down the road. And I think that we're one of those moments now where, you know, the league and ownership and all the teams, you know, we're probably moving forward and investing more than ever before. And to take a hit like this at this time certainly is going to hurt. But I think, you know, we've been down before, and we've gotten out of it in much more difficult times. And I think no question we'll do it again.
Hey, Tab, we just got a text. I want to read this to you. This is a nice text from Sharif Ahmed of Sports Talk. He said, Tab Ramos in capital letters with a bunch of exclamation points, 1994 World Cup hero. So how about that? That's very nice from Sharif.
That's really nice. Those are the things that never get old, you know. And I think as you get older, they become nicer to hear because, you know, as you get older, less and less people have ever, you know, obviously seen you play, but even know about you. And so, as I've made my career as a coach for the last 18 years now, you know, me being the player is less and less of who I am.
Yeah, and this is another reason why I've always been impressed with you, because you really dove into the coaching. I mean, you started at every level. I mean, you took yourself up to the under-20 national team, an assistant coach with Jurgen Klinsmann, World Cup. You know, that to me is very impressive. You were not waiting for something to be handed to you. How long did it take you to separate, because it's different for everybody, that Tab Ramos, the player, and the player that so many people respect, admire, want to talk to, want to get near, to getting into being Tab Ramos, the coach? I mean, did you have to begin to deflect some of the adulation from people so that you could focus on, hey, I want to be known as a coach now?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy, but, it's, you know, for me, it was personally, like at home and in my everyday work, I fully committed to coaching a long, long time ago. And for this last, at least decade and a half, coaching has been the most important thing for me in the sport. But yeah, because I've been sort of in the trenches and coaching youth and then coaching youth national teams, which is, you know, at the end of the day, it's not something that people talk about every single day or watch every day. You know, it's something that, you know, you're sort of in the background. And so when your name resurfaces, people just connected immediately to, you know, what you did as a player. And I'm, you know, as a player, I'm obviously very proud of all the things that I did as a player. I'm happy. I think I'm happy more than proud, really. I'm happy that I got an opportunity to compete in multiple World Cups and do all that stuff. But I'm really excited about the fact that I love what I do every day as a coach. And as a player, you're always, it seems like you hit a peak and then you're inevitably on your way down. And I think as a coach, you're always learning and I feel like you're always getting better. So I don't see an end in sight. And that's really exciting for me.
Yeah, you got a long time in this game. And I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to be able to say you've spent your entire career doing and being involved in something you love in different capacities.
Yeah, I mean, it's really lucky, you know. I feel thankful for that because not many people get to do that.
So that leads me to Soccer Town USA, the documentary. And again, I'm going to remind people listening tonight, and once you hear this on the podcast, go to YouTube.com. Just type in Soccer Town USA. It's a tremendous documentary. It's just really raw. And let's go back to this, because in your time, and even more so in my time in the 80s, soccer was in ethnic areas, in pockets like Kearney, Bayonne, Harrison, where you grew up. It was not in the suburbs. It's totally different now. It's out in the suburbs in force. Just, you know, your initial impressions to that documentary after you watched it. I mean, it must have been a really prideful thing for you to watch.
Yeah, so, you know, what I really like about it is a really nice story about a little town of the U.S. in which soccer has always been thriving, you know, since really for 100 years. In a town that not many people knew about, in a town that I was lucky enough to move into, in a town that, you know, that pulled its weight, you know, all the way back in the 1930 World Cup and all the way up to the 1990 World Cup and the 94 World Cup and the 98 World Cup. I mean, it's, you know, the story of Kearney as Soccer Town USA is a great story. And I happen to be in it. Obviously it's a documentary, but it's a nice little story that anyone who loves soccer would like to see.
So there's a part in the documentary, and I jotted a bunch of notes down while I was watching it because I wanted to bring some of these things up with you. But there's a part in it where, you know, there's a bit of an angry Tab Ramos, and it talks about you being potentially mad at your father for moving from Uruguay to New Jersey. I guess you were in Harrison first, and were you mad at your father?
Yeah, I was at the time, actually, because, you know, I was coming from a country, you know, Uruguay was, you know, most people know Uruguay only for soccer. I mean, that's really all it's known for. And developing good, strong, mentally hard soccer players. And you know, I felt like I was on my way. You know, at the time I was 11, just about to turn 12. I had gone through the whole, you know, baby football in Uruguay, which is like a really tough part, actually, of your development. That's 6 years old to 12 years old. And although it may seem and it may sound like rec-type soccer, it's not that at all. I mean, it's hard. It's about winning. And it's about making it out of there somehow. And I felt like I was coming out of there. I was going into my last year of that hoping that, you know, my next move at 12 years old was going to be maybe signing a pre-contract with a professional club. So, like, I had my dreams, and then, you know, my dad decided that we were going to move here. You know, he was a tool and die maker at the time, and he was coming here to work at a factory, and I felt like, wow, you know, of all the places in the world, well, you know, why couldn't we go to Europe or somewhere where they play soccer, and soccer is really important. And, you know, he had chosen to come here, and yeah, it was not easy for me to get on board with that. Not that it mattered to my parents whether I was on board or not. but yeah, I wasn't on board from the beginning.
So We're going to take a break here, Tab. We're going to come back with more of this. I want to talk to you a little bit about the DA as well, but we'll continue with Soccer Town USA because there's just too many things I want to talk to you about because it was just such a great documentary. By the way, Tom McDonald was in there with Jim Hark's, John's father. And Tom and John were great friends. Well, Tom McDonald was my youth coach prior, to when you and John and Tony took things to the next level. But he would come out to the suburbs and bring our teams in there to toughen us up, to play on dirt fields, to play at the Gunnell Oval and all these things. So there's a cool little story about him as well that comes off this. And there were two cameos in there. He's passed, and I was in Kearney when he passed at his celebration in recent times. But more with Tab Ramos, more Soccer Time USA. We got the Houston Dynamo manager here. It is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal! Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Romel Kielko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. A man on the show right now, Tab Ramos, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. 13-year professional career, and Tab played in Spain, Mexico, the U.S., and many of you will remember when Major League Soccer started in 96. Tab was the first player signed by the league. We're talking about Soccer Town USA, the documentary. You can find it on YouTube. Just type in Soccer Town USA. It is a tremendous watch. You're going to see a very young Tab Ramos in there, but you're going to see an equally impressive story about a town in New Jersey that was predominantly Scottish. And in those days, things were, Scots would live in a certain area, Portuguese in a certain area, certainly in the 80s and 70s. And it was really defined. I think it's a little bit more mixed now. But we welcome back Tab Ramos. Tab, thanks again for doing the second segment with us. When you and I did an interview a while back when you first got here, we did that wonderful sit-down, and you were very enlightening on a lot of subjects. You talked about growing up in Uruguay and how highly competitive, games were at such early ages, And I walked away that day going, I remember what some people were trying to say the model was in the U.S. was, we're trying to lay a fundamental base early, and then we bring in tactics and competition at 12 and 13. That wasn't the case in Uruguay, and that's definitely wasn't the case in Kearney, New Jersey, when you guys were playing pickup soccer.
No, it definitely wasn't. When you look at both the way I grew up in Uruguay, where it was mostly about winning all the time, and then in Kearney, where it was basically, just go to the, whatever coach we had at the time, you just go to the field and you would throw out a ball, and you would either do some shooting on goal or you would be playing small sided games or full field. That was the extent of our training session. But we knew that whatever the training session was at the time, that was only a small part of what we did in soccer that day, because we would always meet at the courts to play. So we played for hours every day.
How important is the balance between coaching and doing it on your own? And also that in the context of now, that it's very different now. I mean, there's a lot of video things going on. Everybody's got great uniforms. In some ways, it's slightly homogenized. Look, you played a lot of your soccer on dirt fields and asphalt growing up.
Yeah, I mean, the game has changed a lot, but it also, if you look at all different sports, it's sort of the same. If you look at basketball, you look at football or baseball, think of the amount of work that athletes have to do now to stay at the top of the game. It's really difficult to have multiple sport athletes anymore. because you have to be so specialized so early, and you have to, if you play baseball or football, you have to make sure that you do weights and you get stronger and you get bigger and not that wasn't happening before, but it wasn't to the extent that it is now because it's so competitive. And I think, you know, when you look at soccer, sort of the same, to be able to be on an MLS team nowadays, you physically have to be like a top level athlete. Otherwise, it's really difficult to get on the field and to be able to survive 90 minutes of a game. I feel like in the past we were, obviously because we didn't know better, but certainly we were way behind. So the sport has changed a lot, and I'm not sure with, doing the same things that we were doing before, we would survive today.
But different surfaces and things like that, are there some things that you hold over from the way you grew up in the game and the way you developed and the ability to experiment and play on your own? Is any of that still achievable with youth players now, or does it have to be highly structured, highly organized, just to get them out there to play?
No, I'm not in general a big fan of highly structured. I think there has to be some kind of balance, because there's no question that the best way to develop your relationship with the ball is by having the ball and by doing things on your own, by trying different things and by putting yourself in an environment that's not controlled to every move that you have to make. That thing where, an environment where things just happen. Or as Manny Shelshai used to say, the game is the best teacher. And so sometimes you just have to put yourself in those situations where the game teaches you, where you turn and there's three guys, and the coach can warn you about it, but you're only going to learn to be able to turn and get away from dangerous areas by being in those situations. And so the game does teach you a lot. So I think it needs to be a combination of both. And certainly the players in the past were the same or better technically than they are today. That's certainly not a place where the game has moved forward. I just feel like on the physical side, you need to spend time. And that time, without question, takes away time from you being with the ball. And that, at times, changes the game.
Talking to Todd Ramos, manager of the Houston Dynamo. We're talking about the documentary Soccer Town USA as well. Now, you mentioned the courts. So just explain to our listeners the courts and then the freedom you had there, because there weren't adults around. So you guys had to sort arguments out. You had to pick teams. I mean, that's a beautiful counter to and balance to having good coaching.
Yeah, well, the courts were, they were sort of our relief, and John Hart does a nice line in there, and what he says, we were sort of not, it seemed like we were not like the best players to come out of Kearney. We were just a generation that sort of got it and had a little bit more of a drive to get out of Kearney and do bigger things. But we sort of grew up watching players who were just as good. At least we felt that way. Players who were technically amazing, players who we thought, wow, these are all going to be professional players. And then somehow, life in those towns, if you watch the documentary, it wasn't an easy town to grow up in. There was a lot of different temptations that you had to deal with, and you had to really be focused, and it was not easy to get out of those areas. And we just happened to be the generation of guys that said, hey, soccer is more important to us than everything else. But there were talented players all along.
Yeah, no question. Back in my day, I can mention Jerry McEwen, Stevie McLean, all guys that I played against. I remember Joe Ellsmore. Even go farther back than that, Huey O'Neill, Santiago, who you've talked about before. So it's just incredible, the riches that came there. By the way, this goes back, this documentary, all the way to 1885 with the Clark Threadmills team. Okay, so this tells you about the immigrants coming to America, and of course the Scottish immigrants are bringing the things with them that they love, including soccer. And I remember there was one point, Tab, where you kind of get identified as playing maybe in Harrison, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here informationally, but you're playing in Harrison and the word gets out, hey, there's this really talented player, and some people are skeptical, and then they bring you over kind of like a tryout or to a training session, and then all of a sudden everybody goes, yeah, this guy's all right.
Yeah, it kind of happened fast because I moved to the U.S. And, you know, for 3 or 4 months, I couldn't find any place to play until a friend, you know, one of the kids I'd gotten to know in Harrison came up to me and said, hey, do you want to sign up for, you know, for Harrison Rec? Not knowing what that was, I signed up for it. I asked my parents, I signed up for it, and I went and played. And when I played my first rec game, actually they took me off the field and they didn't allow me to finish the game because the fields were so small that I could score from goal kicks. And I was just obviously didn't belong there. You know, I show up at a place where the kids were wearing, you know, knee pads and, you know, and it was just not your typical soccer player that I was used to. And so somebody saw me play there and they're like, okay, well, we're going to take you, you know, if you don't mind, we can talk to your parents. We'll take you to a club in Kearney. That's where, you know, that's where the big soccer club is, and, you know, we'll take you there. So they took me there, and I went there for one training session, and obviously after one training session, they kept me on, and then, you know, obviously the rest is history there.
Yeah, so the Kearney Pride, I mean, tough guys, a lot of tough guys. Tough environment, as you mentioned, a lot of temptation, very strong personalities. Did you kind of have to pass a bit of a litmus test with them, you know, to kind of make that crossover to playing for the Scots and Thistle and playing in Kearney?
Yeah, I mean, it was not easy from a culture standpoint, obviously, because they were used to just having basically only Scottish or Irish players. So here I come from Uruguay, and, you know, they're usually not taking people from, you know, at least not Latino kids on the team at the time. So that was hard to cross over, and it was something that was new for me. Because coming from Uruguay, I was not really aware as a kid of any of these type of things. But then also the fact that, you know, as we grew up, then me playing on the team, you know, most people would have the perception, even after you watch the, you know, you watch the documentary, you would have the perception that, you know, when we, you know, when John or I or Tony went to the courts, that people would be like, oh, here come those guys. And it wasn't like that at all. I mean, because there were other guys who had made names before us. So we were just other kids, you know, coming in. We thought we were good, and obviously we proved ourselves so that everybody would pick us on the best team because that's how you stayed on. But by far, it wasn't like, okay, here comes John, and here comes Tab, or, you know, it wasn't like that. It was like we were just other guys, and we were lucky to be in teams with, you know, the guys that you mentioned before that were coming back from, you know, from colleges to play. The names that we had been hearing about for years, you know, that were like, oh, my God, that's so-and-so, you know? And yeah. And so, yeah, it was just we had to find our way, and every day was a battle over there.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo manager. We're talking about Kearney, New Jersey, Soccer Town, USA. Again, it's a great documentary. Catch it at YouTube.com. Go over there and just type in Soccer Town, USA. It's really, really engaging. I kind of was wishing it would go on a little bit longer, but it was tremendous. All right, let's move on to the DA. And look, I know there's still lots of things going on with this, so we're not expecting for deep, deep answers here, but how do you think, you know, this whole situation now with the DA is going to change, if at all? Will a lot change?
How it's going to change moving forward, I'm not sure. You know, obviously MLS has stepped in and will take the reins moving forward. And hopefully we'll continue to, you know, to make improvements. You know, one of the things about the DA that I think that has been important over the years is, you know, the DA existed for 13 years. And in those 13 years, there was a lot of important things that happened. You know, coaches learned about the importance of getting their licenses, about being a well-educated coach. Clubs learned about the fact that, you know, training is more important than the games, that you have to have a better ratio of training sessions to games, because when you go to the games, you know, most players don't touch the ball as much, so you need to be practicing more. So there was a lot of things that happened within clubs, like naming of director of coaching that could now put a curriculum together, a technical director who could implement it. You know, so there's a lot of good things that happened over the last 13 years that were not happening before, at least not everywhere. Certain clubs maybe, but this became sort of a nationwide phenomenon. And I think that, you know, although, yeah, we can talk about some of the things that we can all argue about, whether, you know, eliminating high school soccer was a good thing or not, or whether, you know, putting the calendar year into, you know, January 1st is December 31st, whether that was a good thing or not. So there's things we can argue about over the years, but there's no argument in the fact that the Development Academy did move the game forward. I think what's a little bit sad about this situation is the fact that it almost seems like U.S. soccer just checked out and left a lot of clubs likely stranded who had spent a lot of money over the last however many years trying to follow along what U.S. soccer wanted. And it's not so much about the MLS clubs, but it's about all the rest of the clubs that were not in MLS who spent the money and who wanted to be part of something big and who all of a sudden are left on the street. And that's a difficult thing. But there's no question that the DA for a period of 13 years moved the game forward.
Tab, tremendous two segments. Thank you very much for doing these. I'm sure everybody really enjoyed this conversation with you. We really appreciate you coming on, and, you know, let's hope we get to see you back out on the fields sooner rather than later, okay?
Me too. I can't wait for that. Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Tab. Thank you very much. Man, that's great stuff with Tab Ramos. And you got a nice comment there from him about the DA at the end of the interview. Soccertown USA, again, it's exceptional. It's a great story. There's some really funny moments in there as well that you'll like a lot. In fact, I think John Hartz or was it Tony Meola? One of the two of them just said, you know, there's games I don't remember as a pro, but there's games I remember playing in the park that I'll never forget. Something along those lines. So it was pretty good. Taking a break here. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. Thank you for your presenting sponsorship of this show. When we come back, we're going to begin to dig a little deeper into the whole Super League and combination between Major League Soccer and Liga MX. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, is going to join us. Always a great guest on the show. That was good stuff with Tom Ramos. We'll have Megan Oyster later in this hour to finish. And let's keep rolling on here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.